Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, so you have your fasting regimen. You can hold on to it and look at it. You can set it down beside you. You can really do however you want to do, but I'm just going to, part of my lesson, kind of talk from that. Okay, so today, of course, is the last Sunday in 2019. We are heading into 2020, and I believe that it's going to be an incredible year for us. Amen? So I'm going to talk to you from today and then probably on Tuesday night from the subject of forward focus. Everybody say forward focus. And so the Lord has already told us, the word of the Lord came, that this year, or this upcoming year, 2020, would be a year, of great focus, of focus, clarity, and acceleration. And so so that's kind of what I want to talk to you a little bit about today, and I really want to get you ready for the fast, January 1st through January 7th. We're going to fast from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m., fruit only. Now, you know, Pastor, can I have any water, juices? Yes, I'm fine with it. You can have fruit juices. You can have water. I don't mind coffee and tea. The biggest thing is, as far as, like, edible solids, like we're just doing bananas and oranges and grapes and strawberries and things like that, all right? If they tell you a potato is a fruit, not for the first through the seventh, all right? You know, we get all kind of calls. Well, Pastor, I Google said a potato is a fruit. Well, not for the first through the seventh, all right? So it's only 6 to 3, and how many know we can all do that with no problem? Right? And for some of us, I do understand for some of us it's more than others as far as a sacrifice, but it is still a sacrifice, and we understand that sacrifice sets in motion the supernatural power of God, that it gets God's attention and it causes him to move in our lives. And so I'm going to read the first part of this regimen that says what is fasting, and I'll probably read the next part as far as the benefits of fasting, and I just want to share some things with you. It says, fasting brings a person into a deeper, intimate, and more powerful relationship with the Lord. Every Christian, everyone in the room say every Christian.
Every Christian.
Every Christian has three duties to perform during their Christian walk: to give, to pray, and to fast. And the Bible teaches us this all through the Word of God, that we should give. You can just make a note that the first Sunday in March, we always have the first Sunday in March set aside as our big giving day. We'll talk a little bit about that later on. And so, and we'd like to let you know far in advance, because that way you can prepare, you can plan, and those kind of things. And so, to give, to pray, Jesus says that men are to always pray and not faint or not give up. And then also to fast, and we see fasting is all through the Bible. There was 1-day fast, 3-day fast, 7-day fast, 14-day fast, 21-day fast, and 40-day fast that are recorded in the Bible. And so it says biblical fasting always has to do with eliminating distractions for a spiritual purpose. And so when I'm fasting, a lot of times, I told you 6 to 3 fruits only. And then, you know, as the Spirit of God leads you, you have to do extra. So if the Lord says, hey, no social media for those 7 days, you know, then you do that. Or if he says at least from 6 to 3. So my thing is, corporately, we're going to do this, but then there might be things like, you know, like right now I'm just fasting from social media, period. Some of you noticed that I haven't posted anything about anything. I got on to post for the Christmas production because it was amazing, but besides that, you know why? Because sometimes things can be distractions. You got it. And so I don't want any distractions. I want to hear from God. I want to hear clearly. And sometimes you got to let go of certain environments. Sometimes you got to let go of certain people. Sometimes you got to let go of certain things so that Holy Spirit can be the loudest voice in your life. Does that make sense? All right. So it says it hits the reset button of our soul and renews us from the inside out. Fasting also enables us to celebrate the goodness and mercy of God and prepare our hearts for all the good things that God desires to bring into our lives. And God desires to do some incredible things in our lives, but we understand that the will of God is not automatic. He needs our permission and our participation for him to usher his will into our lives. So in other words, course, there's some things that we have to do. It says the discipline of fasting will release the anointing, favor, and blessings of God into the life of every Christian believer. Your thoughts and spirit will become uncluttered, and you will become more sensitive to the voice of God. Fasting also brings about a transformation that will transform how to live your life. The Holy Spirit will show you how to live your life. You got it? We know through the Logos, through the Word of God, He shows us how to live our lives. But how many know even through the Rhema, he shows us how to live our lives? Go over here, but don't go over here. Do this, but don't do this. Say that, but you better not say that. Can I get a... You understand? And so you have to make sure. Fasting brings transformation that will transform our lives. Also, your private discipline will bring your rewards here on earth and in heaven. All right? The next part says, when you give God your first through fasting, prayer, and giving, you set the course for your life. And so that's what we want to do. We say January 1st, and I know there's, I guess, traditions that on the January 1st, you eat certain things and that kind of thing. And, you know, and people have told me that, and I say, all I can do is just tell you what God told me. He didn't tell me the 2nd through the 8th. He told me the 1st through the 7th, because there's something, watch this now, there's something supernatural about giving God the first. You know, we understand with the tithe, we give God the first. You got it? If you have 10 $100 bills, which one belongs to God? The first one, right? So you take the first one and you put it aside. You got it? And know that one belongs to God. Now, I can start doing whatever I want to with the other one, but I know I've set aside the first because it's holy, it's consecrated, it belongs to God, and God honors that. You got it? And so in the same way, when we move into a new year, you got it, we ought to give him, we're really giving him our first week. You got it? And so we're going to give him our first week. We're going to pray. We're going to fast. We're going to give. You got it? And we're going to see God do some supernatural things in our lives. All right? The benefits of fasting. Let's talk a little bit about that. Number one, the first thing that we see is a heightened sensitivity to hear from God. A heightened sensitivity to hear from God. Moses received supernatural revelation from God at this time of fasting in Exodus, the 34th chapter and the 28th verse. And he was there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. So Moses was on a total fast, all right? And he wrote upon the tablets or tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And so Moses was in a place where he had to hear from God for the people. So he had to, you know, set aside food and water and those kind of things. And it does something supernatural. And I can hear from God all the time. You got it? When I get in more quiet places, I can really hear from God. But when I fast and totally let go of all distractions, I hear from God in ways that I don't normally hear. Does that make sense? So we should always be hearing from God, but what we're saying is when we decide to fast, if you are believing God for something, maybe your family needs to make a big decision about something, it's real good, you know, at least for the husband and wife, say, hey, let's turn down our plates for a couple days. You got it? You know, let's kind of put this on the shelf. We think this is the way we need to go, but let's fast for 2 days or 3 days or 4 days, and let's ask God for the green light. You got it? And so it's just important to do that. All right, so number one was heightened sensitivity to hear from God. All right, number two is victory. Everybody say victory. Victory. I got the victory. All right, that's what we want, right? Because the devil is defeated, let God be praised. Yeah, all right. So Jehoshaphat received instructions, divine intervention, and victory in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, when the children of Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir had came against of the children of Israel. 2 Chronicles 20, 1 through 4, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them the others besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side Syria, and behold, they be in that word, which is in that word. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together and asked help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Everybody came together and they declared a fast, and they did it so they could seek God. They sought God. God gave them directions and caused their enemies. He set up ambushments against their enemies. And so all their enemies fell. Then they came in after all the enemies fell and took all the spoils for days and brought it back home. And they got the victory. So they were minding their own business. The devil shows up. They begin to fast. God takes care of the devil and then gives them double for their trouble by rewarding them with all the spoils. And then they move on with the rest of their lives. Does that make sense? So sometimes, and the reason I'm giving these to you is because as a church, we only fast a couple times a year, but as believers, we should fast often. Does that make sense? So now you know, okay, so pastor's already told me when I'm trying to make a big decision in my family, it might be a good time to fast. Here's another one. When the enemy attacks me, it's a good time to fast. You got it? You know, how many know sometimes the devil is busy? Right? Yeah, sometimes the devil can be busy, you know, but that's okay because God is greater. Right? And so you got to make sure. So if the enemy, sometimes, you know, something will happen and I'll just kind of be like, you know, that's kind of, you know, just things happen, just an attack, you know. But then a couple weeks go by and I notice, okay, this is the devil. This is an attack from the enemy. You got it? And so then that's when I said, okay, no, we got to take care of that. And so that's when you go into a specific type of prayer to go against the enemy for that. You fast for a couple days and you watch God move. All right. So number three is the ability to resist temptation. The ability to resist temptation. Of course, Jesus was tempted at all points as we were, but the Bible said, yet he knew no sin. What people don't understand is he was tempted just like we were and had the same opportunity to sin like we did. Well, he was God, but he was God come in the flesh. So not only was he the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man, which him being the Son of Man gave him earthly authority to do everything that he did. Does that make sense? And so Luke, the fourth chapter, verses 1-4, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, watch this. So he's being tempted of the devil. The Bible says he ate what? Nothing. And watch this. When they were ended afterward, he were hungered. Now, if you fast 40 days, you're going to be hungry too. If you fast 3 days, you're going to be hungry. Some people, pastor, I haven't eaten breakfast and I'm hungry, right? And the devil said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be made out of bread. Jesus answered, saying unto him, thou shalt not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then we knew he took him to a cliff and he said, if you'll do this. And so Jesus was fasting, you got it, and he was able to overcome temptation. If you're dealing with something going on in your life, some type of temptation, if you go to God in prayer and fast and turn down your plate, God can help you overcome the temptation. Does that make sense? Which really brings me to number four, which is strongholds being broken. Strongholds being broken. When we talk about strongholds, Isaiah 58, I'm going to just read verses 5-6. I want you to go back and read, like, you know, Luke 4, I only read part of that. I want you to read the whole thing. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I only read part of that. I want you to go back and read how they got the victory. I want you to do it during this week or this next week when we're fasting, and you see how, with Jehoshaphat, God raises this guy up, and he begins to speak the word of the Lord, and then people get in agreement with him, and then God sets, you know, ambushments up, and it's amazing. And then as you're reading it, you realize just how God came through when the devil attacked them, it's the same way God's going to come through for me when the devil tries to attack me. Right? So Isaiah 58, verses 5-6, it really teaches us that when we fast, strongholds can be broken, burdens can be removed, wickedness. That word wickedness has to do with a lot of things, but one of the things it has to do with is sexual perversion. So if somebody's dealing with lust or pornography, I know we don't like to talk about that stuff, but how many know we have to talk about that stuff, right? And we've all dealt with different things like that from time to time. And so what happens is you got to understand that because you are now now believer, because you have been bought with the price, sin cannot dominate you because you are not under the law, you are under grace, all right? But when I'm under grace, watch this now, I'm being directed by the Holy Spirit, and he's leading me and he's guiding me. Isaiah 58, verses 5 through 6 says, is it such a fast that I have chosen? He says, a day that a man would afflict his soul, is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? Because what happens is they were just going through the motions, and they were fasting, and they wanted everybody to know. Like if I'm fasting, you never know I'm fasting. Like, I could be up here teaching and have been fasting 7 days, and you never know it, because I'm not going to be like, oh, y'all just, I'm just a little tired. I've been with the Lord. I haven't had anything to eat. No, because then that's how I get my reward for you saying, oh, poor pastor. Does that make sense? So, you know, but we don't need sympathy. We need the supernatural. Isn't that right? So don't walk around, you know, you forgot to brush your teeth, your breath is bad. No, that kind of stuff. When you're fasting, you wake up, you do everything you always do. Take a bath, brush your teeth, wash your face, get a little corner out your eye, just do everything. Put on your good clothes, walk out. This is the day the Lord has made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. And then you have this kind of joy. Why? Because you know that God is about to do something supernatural in my life just to encourage my faith and the faith of others. So this is the day. This is the day that God's going to open a door. This is the day that God's going to make a way. This is the day that favor is abounding toward me. This is the day that supernaturally my body is going to be healed and whole. This is the day that things are happening for me. So when we say this is the day, that encompasses a whole lot. Does that make sense? All right. So now watch what he says. He says, no. He says, is not this the fast that I've chosen? He says, when you fast, if you fast my way, he says that you are going to loose the bands of wickedness, undo heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free, and that that ye break every yoke. So yoke should be destroyed, burdens should be removed, the bands of wickedness, you know, should be loose, and you should be free, free in your mind, free in your emotions. You understand? When you fast, you know, if you got to understand, if you deal with being inferior, you got it, fast and watch how God will turn that thing around. Because he'll begin to remind you are who God says you are. You can do what God says you can do, you know. And so you've got to understand, you know, from Scripture that and we don't hear a lot of talk about fasting and that kind of thing. But how many know fasting is in the Bible, so it's still for today. And we should do it often. Isn't that right? And so that's why as a church, we start off the year, you know, fasting, and we give you the blueprint as the case may be. So now you know exactly what I need to do from here on out. So I need to fast so I can hear from God. I need to fast, you know, so I can get the victory. I need to fast to overcome temptation so strongholds can be broken in my life. All right, so the next part says things to do. We're going to run through this real quick. Oh, is that my time? Oh, yeah, we're going to run through this real quick. Things to do during the fast. Matter of fact, it tells them to you. Ask for forgiveness. Believe God for answered prayers for specific needs. Read the word. Listen to the word. Confess the word. And why do I have to do all three? Because they're separate components. Reading the word and listening to the word are two different things. You got it? And then confessing the word is different because faith comes by hearing, but it is released by the words of my mouth. All right? And then number six, release faith for the next level in your life and family. How many are believing God to do some next level things in your life? All right? You got to believe God to do some next level things. You got it in your family, in your marriage, in your finances, with your children, in your body. You understand what I'm saying? But you have to believe God in getting faith on purpose for the things that you're believing for. Prayer regimen during the fast. Pray for Pastor James and his family. We need your prayers, all right? Then pray for the entire WLCC family. Number three, pray for miracle manifestations of healing and increase. Number four, deliverance from addiction and strongholds. You can kind of see how all this kind of goes together, all right? Everybody say big checks for me.
Big checks for me.
Big checks for WLCC. So he's the God of increase. He wants you to increase. You got it. And then number six, very important, was salvation of our loved ones. And so while you're fasting, you know, pray for them. And so I have a list of every last name in my family. You got it? And so I have a daily prayer regimen. And when I pray for my family, I say I pray for the McIver, the Jones, the Beck, you know, and then I just go through the whole thing. All right? And then number seven, for our church, we want to pray for the return of any offended members who have left outside God's will. All right? And so anyone who's left outside of God's will. So that means somebody left, but God didn't want them to leave. So they heard a message, and they just didn't like it, and they got offended and left. Well, God didn't want them to leave for that. You understand? You know, and so, yes. So we pray for them to come back in Jesus' name. Amen? All right, now, if they left and God don't want them to come back, we don't want them to come back either. No. Just unfortunately, church is not for everybody. You know, some people love our church, and some people, every time they're here, every Sunday, they got something to pick apart. This church probably ain't for them. I'm not being mean, you know, but as I get older, I try to keep everybody in the beginning. And God one time told me, son, I didn't send them. So why are you trying to keep somebody I didn't send? That might be tough for you, but it makes life a little bit easier for Pastor. Yeah, you know, y'all don't know what it takes to do what I do. People tell me they want to pass. I just not. No, you don't. No, you don't. You got to be seriously anointed to do this, and you better be called by God, because if not, the devil will eat you up. Now, I'm just telling you, the devil will eat you up. Yeah. Yeah, you just have zero idea. Because why? Because when Pastor comes up here, I don't talk to you about all that stuff. I get up here, I teach the word, I encourage your hearts, because that's my job, to teach the word, to live the word, and to love the people. Does that make sense? All right. No, but I think, you know, the older I get, the more honest I get. Yeah, because I used to try to do that, and I used to, you know, just try to walk on eggshells when somebody got offended, even though I didn't do anything wrong. And the Lord's like, well, that's on you, because I ain't tell you to do that. I'm like, well, I'm trying to protect your house. He said, no, I'm going to protect my house. Now, you do what you're supposed to do. You got it? And that freed me from being able to just be who God called me to be without feeling like every time somebody got upset about something that I didn't even mean, or I wasn't even involved in it. Yeah. I mean, like if Brother Spaghetti, who sits on this side, and Sister Lasagna, who sits on this side, get at odds with each other, how many know that neither of them should be mad at me? I mean, I didn't do anything. You got it. My name is not Parmesan cheese. You understand? It's like, I ain't got nothing to do with this. Right? Okay. Yeah. Y'all get the picture, though. All right. No, that had to free me, man, because I was just, you know, because by nature, I want everyone to be happy. By nature, I want everything to be good, you know, but I had to learn, you know, that my peace was at stake, too. So I'm going to do my job. You ain't never going to have to worry about Pastor not walking integrity, not handling things in this ministry right, not living right. You ain't never going to have to worry about that. Well, Pastor, you shouldn't say that. No, I have made a decision. You got it? He says choose life or choose death. I have made a decision. And it's that simple. People say, oh, the devil. No, greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. You got it? Sometimes people don't like to hear this, but maybe you need to hear this. Sometimes when you're struggling with something, it's because you have not made a decision. In life, you got to make some decisions. You're like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, you just got to make some decisions. All right. Let's move on. Number eight. 100% tithing by all members and partners. All right. That, you know, we in our church, we have about 1,000 members. They don't all come to church at the same time, but throughout the month, you got it. You have a group that comes every Sunday, we praise God for you. We have a group that comes every other Sunday, we praise God for you. We have a group that only comes once a Sunday, we praise God for you. We praise God for everybody. The goal is to get everyone to be faithful, though. You got it. And to come more regular. Does that make sense? And to give of their tithes and offerings. And that's why I love electronic giving, because even when you're on vacation and you're looking at, you're going to see Mickey, we want you to go see Mickey and have a good time. But how many know that the tenth, the tithe still belongs to the Lord? Isn't that right? All right, number nine, 100% Dream Team participation. And so if you're not on the Dream Team, you can join. Always looking for help in those areas, especially in the kids' ministry. Then number 10, every seat filled, every service. All right, every seat filled, every service. And then number 11, pray for your next level in your life. Then there's a confession that I want you to make every single day. All right, and then, yes, all right, I got a I got 4 minutes and 52 seconds to give you this three-point mini lesson. I think I can do it. All right, so there's three things I want you to do as you prepare for 2020. There's three things I want you to do. Everybody say number one. All right, number one, I want you to forget. All right, matter of fact, I'm going to give them all three, Kayla, and then we're going to start. So number one, I want you to forget. Number two, I want you to forgive. And then number three, I want you to focus. So I want you to forget. I want you to forgive. I want you to focus. I want you to forget. I want you to forgive. I want you to focus. All right, number one, I want you to forget. Forget what? I want you to forget anything that went wrong in 2019. All right? I want you to forget anything that went wrong in 2019. Philippians 3 and 13, Paul says, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and he says, I'm reaching to those things which are before. So Paul says, I'm forgetting those things which are behind me, and I'm reaching to those things which are before me, and I've got my eyes on Jesus. And so forget everything that went wrong in 2019, because if you're not careful, you'll go into 2020 and the enemy will be like, well, you know, this didn't go right and you tried this, you know, the beginning of last year, so why are you going to try at the beginning of this year? No, what's in the past is in the past, all right? There is more ahead of you than there is behind you, all right? Let's go home, court. So forget everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
Forget everything that went wrong in 2019, all right? Number two, what is it, real strong class? What's number two?
Forgive.
Forgive everyone that hurt you and tried to ruin your life. You got to. I know sometimes it's tough, but you got to. I know they did you wrong, but you got to forgive them and let it go. I know they smeared your name and some people walked away and they might not ever know what the truth. You got to let it go. You got to forgive everyone that hurt you and forgive everyone that tried to ruin your life. Remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? Let it go. Let it go. But what if they perceive me? No, let it go. Don't worry about it. They don't want to be my friend anymore. There's a billion people on the planet. Don't worry about it. God will raise up somebody else to be your friend. And at the end of the day, what a friend we have in Jesus. Isn't that right? All right. So Dr. King says, I've decided to stick with love because hate is too great a burden to bear. And I love that saying, man. I'm sticking with love every time. Cuss me out, I'm sticking with love. Do me wrong, I'm sticking with love. Lie on me, I'm sticking with love, because hate is too big of a burden to bear. Hate weighs you down like this. So I'm going to love. How many know that we should love at all times? At all times. And sometimes, can I really be honest? I've been real honest in this lesson. I didn't know I was going to be this honest, but I'm going to be even more, not that I'm dishonest, you understand what I'm saying, but sometimes I think even as believers, even as our church, you know, WLCC, if we're not careful, our love level's not where it should be. Because if you go through something, you get frustrated and you say something you shouldn't do and you act the way you shouldn't act. And so just always remember to love at all times. If you find yourself getting away, just pull yourself back in. Does that make sense? Yeah. Love at all times. How many know we shouldn't attack folk on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all those other things? That's not what it's for. Can I tell you what social media is for? It's for sharing wonderful experiences with family and friends. I'm going to tell you one more time. Social media is for sharing wonderful experiences with family and friends. It's not for you to attack you, and I hope that they know I was talking about them, you know, and then, you know, you blocking folk, but then still going back to their page to see if they said something about you. That's not what it's about. Social media is to share wonderful experiences with family and friends. It's not to take pot shots, all right? I got off of social media. Lincoln, I'll be real honest with you. I got so sick and tired of seeing so many Christians that are so anointed and talk about how they love God and he's the best thing since sliced bread and always attacking others. So I just got off of it. I said, man, I'm just... Because every time I go on, I want to see your grandbaby. You understand? Like, I want to see their first steps. That's what it's for. I want to see an encouraging scripture. You understand? That's what it's for. I promise you. It's for sharing wonderful experiences with family and friends. Can I get a big? And that's a great place to clap right there. That's a great place to clap. All right. Okay. So let me give this to you. 1 Corinthians 13 and 3, 3 through 7 in the Message Translation. We're almost out of here. All right. In case you forgot, I want to remind you. He says, if I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten where? Nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Watch what this is. I need you to get this. I need you to get this. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sin of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. That's what love looks like. And so I like to remind myself that scripture on a consistent basis, so that way if I get off a little bit, I pull myself back in. Does that make sense? Because when I really understand love, that's what love is. All right? And then my last one, number three, was focus. Focus on what? Focus on God's plan and desire to make your future bright. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, they're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The New Living Translation says to give you a future and a hope. Whenever I read the scripture, there's two things that come to mind. He says, I know the thoughts I think toward you. So number one, what God thinks about me matters most. What God thinks about me matters most. All right? And then number two, the second thing I always get from this is that God has big plans for my life. So what God thinks about you matters most, and God has big plans for your life. All right? In closing, I'll give you one of my statements that I coined a long time ago. I say coined it, maybe somebody else said it years ago, but when quitting is not an option, victory is inevitable. So if you stay in the fight, you're going to win. If you keep swinging, you're going to hit something, but you have to make it up in your mind that I'm going to stay in the fight. I'm going to do it God's way. You got it. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to see God do amazing things in my life. Amen? Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers praying all over the building. I know we have just a few that need to move, but if everyone